I remember up there preaching, and my little one Corey was crawling between the pews, whoosh, 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 all the way through the back, and you know, it gets to be a little bit. But you know what? You hang on, you keep them around, you keep them in the presence of the Lord. I tell you what, makes a big difference. I know sometimes it's a little difficult, but at the same time, you know, they're just as much a part of the church, and they need to get some of these things that the Lord has. Amen? Praise God. So faith comes by what? And hearing what? Let's believe, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of us today. And God, that you could encourage our hearts, also that you could empower us with truth and freedom and liberty. And Lord, that we could understand, God, more and more of your word, your calling in our life. And God, we want to be open. We want to be open vessels, and we want to be there where we give you permission to write upon our heart, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're doing plenty praying and seeking the Lord. And you know, we're in a day where, you know, everybody knows it's crazy. We're in a day where the world has lost its mind. And you know, I just thought about it, you know, just a little bit of, you know, you listen to different preachers, you see different YouTubes, you read the Bible, you speak to God, and you say, God, how can I be a light? That's a question that I think every one of us needs to ask, because God, he wants us to be able to be a light. And you know, I want to explain something just real quick about darkness. You know, I mean, everybody has theories, and from the beginning of time, you know, we've wrestled with a lot of preachers and what they believe. You know, where does the devil live, and what right does he have? All these different things, and everybody has a theory, but a theory isn't any good. And if you really want to get right down to it, what the Bible says is that God gave Satan the ability to live in darkness. Okay? That's what he says. He cast them into darkness. And you know, we would be in India in these places, and we would talk about the light, you know, and about the darkness. And we'd be in places where it would be so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And we would tell them, you know, we'd be out in these rural areas and turn out the lights, and they'd turn out the lights, and you couldn't see a thing. I mean, you couldn't see anything. And, you know, oh, you don't know if there's a snake crawling. I mean, just all of a sudden fear just jumps on people, you know, and all these things. And all of a sudden we say, turn on the light. And they turn on the light, and oh, everybody else said, ah, you know. They begin to understand. They look around a little bit. And, you know, I said, where did the darkness go? And they said, it's gone. I said, no, it ain't gone. Turn out the light. Turn out the light again, it's dark. You can't see where you're going. You can't figure out anything. You just don't know what's going on. And so turn on the light. See, darkness and light do exist together. And yet light is so much greater. You can be in a really dark place and just light one candle, and it can give a little bit of information and understanding as far as that candle can reach, that little bit of light. But the more light, the more evident it becomes to be able to understand and to see and to protect. And you know, I mean, you can begin to live in the light. And that's what the Bible says, that we are the light of the world. We are, you know, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so, you know, when we think about it just a little bit, you know, I mean, if a person in their life, they're getting set free and things are happening, but yet they still have 40% darkness in there, does the devil still have a place to work? Yes. And so we keep trying to get up, you know, to get to that place where we let God illuminate that light into every place. You know, everybody isn't a drug addict, but some of these ones that aren't drug addicts, they've lived in fear and all these anxieties and you name it. And that's a form of darkness just like anything else. And so God in this day, I mean, I don't know about you, but the world is in absolute darkness. It's just chaotic. And God wants us to begin to understand that he's called us to be a light. And that's, you know, that's a little more than sometimes we as individuals understand exactly what he's trying to say. But, you know, how can I be a light? That's an important thing. In YouTube Wednesday, Mario Murillo had a word. I'm telling you, this is a wild, powerful word of God about truth and how we need to speak the truth. And it was really a bomb. You know, he talked about the culture that we live in and the wokeness. And you know, I mean, he made all these comments about being, you know, being a woke Christian is like putting a screen door on a submarine. You're going down. And it was really good, and it's encouraging to know that, you know, I mean, he said Jesus would draw a crowd, and then he would preach that he would drop truth bombs, and the crowd would thin out because everybody doesn't want the truth always. Darkness doesn't want truth. You understand? And so what happens is you know, we get really, yeah, God, I mean, you know, he talked that if, you know, no nation has ever lost two generations and never came back from it. And we've already lost one. And so, I mean, it was so good of a truth that it just stirs you and you know you got to do something. And so what happens is then we come to a place where, you know, God definitely wants us to do something. He wants us to be a light. And it's a heavy word, but, you know, people everywhere are on different levels. I mean, no, God wants to give us understanding in all things. Everybody in this place isn't on the same level spiritually, intellectually, financially. We're all on different little places. And so God wants to, you know, I mean, when he even talks to preachers, he said, I want you to give them proper food at the proper time. You don't just go out there and throw out a message, you know. God wants the proper things for the proper people. And so sometimes before we always do things, God wants us to begin to reason, what is light? You ever see someone build a house with a sledgehammer? They can tear it down, but you can't build it. And so it's really important that, you know, you use wisdom as you begin to try to bring truth and light, because people will run away from the light if you know. But I really believe there's a lot of people that want truth. They just haven't had it in a way that opens up their understanding. And so today we want to talk just a little bit about that. You know, it's important that, you know, when I got saved, I had hair down to here and Ho Chi's hanging down here. And I walked into a spirit-filled Bible school. And they're all, I know every one of them was wondering, what in the world is that dude doing here? You understand? And no one, everybody, they grabbed a hold of me and they were, you know, praise God, we're glad you're here. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks go by, a week and a half, and I cut my Ho Chi's off at the chin. And I goes, oh, praise God, you're looking pretty good. And then after a little while, I cut my hair a little bit again. And after a little while later, I cut it a little bit more. But if anybody would have came to me and just said, you need to cut your hair, that's disgusting, that ain't God, I would have walked out of there. So you got to understand that when God gives us light and truth, we have to know how to apply it. How many understand that? You have to begin to reason that everybody's at a different level. And I know that there's times to drop truth bombs. I know that. But at the same time, you know, I've never been able to follow somebody that just keeps pushing me. You can't push somebody into the kingdom of God. You have to lead them in your actions, in what you do. You have to be able to lead them. And so, you know, as we watch some of these things, as we begin to understand we're in desperate times, God is not desperate. And he'll give us the wisdom and the words and the how-to begin to do some things. But, you know, one thing, you know, I mean, I've run into some really heavy-duty characters, you know, in our day. But, you know, the blood of Jesus covers sin once and for all. So that means anybody that I'm, you know, I'm facing, dealing with, God has a desire to cover sin. I got to understand that before I pull out my sledgehammer. You understand? I mean, you know, before I do that, we've got to, you know, we got to speak truth in such a way. You know, there is another little video thing I sent, but I had my wife look at it. It was this little girl. I mean, it was this person that went to one of these that we're talking about. You know, if you've never seen it, you know, it's a fun thing. It's really funny. It's put together really well. There's a YouTube called What is a Woman? And a guy seriously goes around the world asking people in all kinds, and I mean some of them that are steeped into the wokeism, heads of all these things, asking, what is a woman? And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. But this one lady, she was saying that a woman can be whatever. You know, if you want to be a woman, you can be a woman. And so what this one little video was, is it's a guy had a little girl. She was about 3 years old, had a skeleton there and a little pointing rod, and says, what is this? And this little girl was telling you the bones. And it said, well, what is this? And she, you know, the pelvic bones and all these here. And she said, and she began to explain, a three-year-old girl began to explain that a man has this kind and a woman has this kind so that she can give birth. And I'll tell you what, when something like that tells you, you can't come against it and call you a right supremacist Christian moron. You know what I mean? It's a little girl that's got truth, praise God. And so as we begin to step out into the world and be a light, you know, which I'll tell you what, God wants us to do things. He wants us to hit the school boards. He wants us to do some different things like that. It's really important we never forget the blood of Jesus covers all. And the whole purpose, you know, of the blood of Jesus, the whole purpose of what Jesus did and the Holy Spirit is to make us holy. God is holy. And that's the purpose of all these things, is to make us holy. And so, I don't know about you, God's been working on me for 50 years and he still ain't got it done yet. You understand? And so, but I want him to do more. And the more he does and the more I begin to be, the better I begin to feel. But, you know, one thing is I read the Bible, you know, the Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so no matter what we do, if we don't go out there in the spirit of God and in the right spirit, it ain't going to happen. No matter how much you've been convinced in your mind, this is right and this is wrong and this is right and this is wrong. You know, I mean, you know, I've seen different things happen, but, you know, I know one parent, you know, they were tired of their kid saying he was a cat. I'm a cat. So they said, they put a dish on the floor and put cat food in it and said, you're not welcome to sit at our table. Cats eat in there. Can't use the bathroom. Go outside. Cats go outside. And so after a little while, the guy realized, I don't want to be a cat. You know, that was a parent's right to do that. You understand? That was a parent's right to do that. And so as we go on into some of these things, you know, we realize that it's by the Spirit, God says. And so when God leads by His Spirit, I think things begin to work. But we got to always remember that we can't push people. We have to lead people. That's an important thing. If you don't get anything out of it, everything today, make sure you get that we have to lead them. And so I know one thing, that as I've gone through life, as I read the Word of God, been in ministry, I know one thing, that Jesus is on my side. Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm on your side. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, see, that's some of the things that I, as a person, you know, even though the world is desperate, God isn't desperate. And I don't have to be desperate. I have to be truthful. I have to be honest. I have to be in season, you know, all these things like that. But, you know, we want to go to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 35. I'm going to read to the end, but I want to quickly do this. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. I tell you, God wants to bring us over and through a lot of different things. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. Just as he was on the other side there, it says, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And there arose a fierce gale wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" How many know that God definitely cares? He has a time, he has a purpose. And it says, and he got up, he rebuked the wind and the sea. "Hush, be still," and the winds died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him?" God is in full control. We're in a season where, even though there's a lot of crazy things, and in our lives there might be a lot of crazy winds and things blowing against our house, God is still in control. And I begin to see some things that, you know, one of the biggest things God wants to do is he wants us to learn how to conquer our fears. You know, people today live in such great fears that, I mean, that's why the television, almost everything on the television, every little news break, about 90% of it is some sort of a drug that's going to help you with something. And everybody is so fearful, they're buying the drugs like crazy. You know, God wants us to overcome fear. What's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen with America? I tell you what, Jesus is coming. We're going to rule and reign with him. He's got a purpose for our life. He'll not forsake us. I know that God is with me. And all these things begin to happen. And you know, it's important because, you know, even in the middle of the storm, you have to choose something. You know, in Florida, I really enjoyed when we went to Florida before, even during COVID. And all over Florida, all over the place, I mean, probably 40% of the people had signs in their yard, "Faith over fear." It was good. It was really, really good. And I want to tell you, it was super important to begin to realize that, you know, faith is something that produces, and fear does something too. It produces something else. It gives the enemy a place to begin to direct us and begin to cause us things that we just don't want. And so, you know, as we begin to see these things, you know, the Bible says, "Choose ye this day whom you shall serve." Are you going to serve fear? Are you going to serve frustration? Are you going to serve something that you don't quite understand? Or are you going to begin to serve God? Are you going to begin to apply faith in the things that God begins to speak to us? And, you know, I know God is going to change a lot of things, and he's going to save a lot of people because it's a promise of God. And I know that everyone that wants to be used of God and that wants to see the gifts of God stirred within their life, God is going to stir them, and he's going to use them. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is gonna do that, but it's really important. And so we see something that, you know, I was reading there, but what is a test? What is a test? I mean, you know, maybe it's a math test, maybe, you know, whatever, but what is a real test? A test really is something that is trying to show whether you have it right or not, whether you have the ability or not, whether you actually possess it or not. That's a test. And so, you know, we look into the Word of God, and we look at life, and we begin to see something. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says this: "Test yourself." What did I just say? Test yourself. That's the first test. We're really good at testing everybody else. I know everything you do wrong. I can see it. But God didn't tell me to do that. God told me to test myself. God told me to work on myself. And so, You know, as he says that, he said, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. How many know that that's something that is just continuous? I don't care whether I'm talking to my wife, whether I sit down in the evening, if I turn on the news, whatever. Test myself to see if I'm in the faith. When I go to work, you know, when I come to church, I don't know about you, sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, the Bible says, guard your steps as you enter into the house of the Lord, draw near to listen. You know, some people walk into the church and they're totally concentrated on everything that's going wrong and everything they need to do, that they don't hardly hear anything that's going on. And so these are tests. God wants us to be able to come into his presence, hear his word, faith. You know, with faith, all things are possible. So he says, examine yourself, or you do not recognize this about yourself, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. Now, it's really important that I begin to understand something. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when everything is okay, I'm okay. But what about right in the middle of the storm? Right in the middle of the storm, right when everything is just coming down, what's happening? If I take a test then, what's happening? You see, that is the test, really. That's the test to see what's happening in your life. And you know, in the middle of that storm, I begin to realize that, you know, Christ, he never leaves us. That's what he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in the middle of the storm, if there's anything that we can hang on to, it's that. I tell you what, I know some people right now today, they're going through storms that are just unbelievable. I don't hardly understand how they can be going through it. You know, like I said, the father's got cancer. He's going through cancer. And his daughter married this guy, and they're in the military, and she's out over in Korea for a year. And all of a sudden, she's supposed to come back, and just a few days, about 4 or 5 days before she comes back, the husband that's taking care of their 3 kids was supposed to have a doctor's appointment. He's military, too. And when he didn't show up for the doctor's appointment, they went to his house, and the kid says, oh, Dad's sleeping. We can't wake him up. He died. This is before she ever gets home from a one-year deployment. I mean, and then the guy, you know, I mean, his brother or whatever, the other family member just died younger than him of cancer, and he's going through this stuff. And I don't know about you, but right in the middle of the storm, it's unbelievable what some people are going through. So, you know, when it comes time to ministering and to do things, we have to minister in such a way where Christ, he is there, and he is there to meet the different needs, but in the middle of the trial. In that same 2 Corinthians 13, in that verse 8, it says this, for we cannot do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. You know, it's amazing how that really spoke to me. We can't do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. The truth of the matter is that God never fails. He didn't leave us. And we see some of these things that now it's time to understand whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life. Do you still believe God when he says, I am your shepherd? God is my shepherd. Is he still your shepherd? You understand? See, there's a focus point there. He watches over me. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, if the winds aren't blowing and they aren't contrary, that's not difficult. That's not really a test. The test is when things are blowing contrary to what we see. And God is still there. See, that's just, I really find that he's still there. Something's happening. And you know, one of the things that what Jesus did is, you know, sometimes he'll come and he'll calm the storm, right? You ever have any storms calmed in your life? Yeah. And other times, he doesn't. Instead of calming the storm, He calms me. See, there's a difference there. So whatever you need, make sure that in this time where that we're looking around, all these things are there, whatever's there, that we know that God is with us. He's my shepherd. He'll watch over me. He's gonna make some things right. You know, we talk about those families that, you know, I don't know about you, how many have had plenty of chaos with your family? Probably everybody almost is going to raise their hand in this one, somewhere, shape, or form. But, you know, when it comes to family, there's a lot of emotion there. There's just really a lot of serious emotion. And these trials can be, you know, I mean, it can't get closer than family. And, you know, you think about some of the crazy times, and then here comes the pastor with a wild video. Wokeism, all the different craziness, you know, in the schools and what they're teaching and how we need to be able to stand up. But we need to be able to use the wisdom of God. See, what's going to happen is as we begin to stand up, which we need to stand up, and we have the right to stand up, we have to understand that in the middle of all this, some families have it happening right in their family. It might be their son. It might be their daughter. It might be someone right there in the family. And when you go to them and you begin to drop truths, you got to make sure that it isn't such a truth that's going to make them run to the darkness. Are you catching me? Because God wants to set people free. We want to be able to understand. And one of the biggest, well, like I said, when you lead people, you begin to try to understand who they are first before you try to direct them. Because, so I don't know about you, I don't have a lot of good sense. If it didn't come from God, it ain't going to come good to you probably. It's going to come, you know, in a different kind of way. That's, you know, that's the flesh. And so God wants us to have these abilities. That's why he's training us. And that's why sometimes we're going through some things so that we can always be there for others. James chapter 1. Verses, I want to read three verses there, two. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." That's not very fun. But I want to tell you, trials are something that do have an ability to do something. It says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." You know, if we're not going through anything, I want to tell you, you're not going to have all kinds of great ability to help somebody that needs it. If you've never gone through trials, if you've never experienced anything, you got to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, you ain't going to have anything that you have to give away. And so God begins to cause us to learn, and then he begins, you know, in the middle of it, you know, counting it all joy. You know, I'm not happy that all these things happen, but I am happy that God has always made a way for us to get through. And, you know, it's important that we understand that as we're in it, you know, God promises that he will take us through. Didn't say away from or around. He said, "I'll take you through." And so God has taken us through some things. We need to understand them. And so, you know, in Matthew 28, in verse 20, it says this, "Teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Say this with me, always. See, I'll tell you what, I forget that sometimes when I get a little ticked off or when something's kind of irritating me or when, you know, when I don't agree with somebody, you know, I don't know. All I got to do is turn the news on and there you go. Man, I would tell you what, sometimes I lose the always real fast. God is there always. And learning that's a key, isn't it? And when Jesus said that, and we've taught about it many different times, but building upon the rock. See, that's what God is trying to teach us in this day that we live in. It's a crazy day. There's storms everywhere, but that doesn't affect the one that keeps building on the rock. He's wanting us to build upon the rock with a solid foundation, and that's the key, that we understand that he's there always. And when you build upon the rock, one of the things that I think Christians, here's a truth bomb, they've got to begin to understand that it takes work. We want everything to fall out of heaven. You know, Lord, just let it fall out of heaven. But it takes work. And you know, it's important that effort, the more effort you put into something, the better it is. So if you've got a Christian life that you're not putting effort into, I mean, if you're putting as much effort into doing craziness, your success ability diminishes. Your joy and your peace and all these things you always want. I mean, if you compromise with the enemy, that's darkness. That's not a light. God teaches us to light that light. You know, and so when we build, you know, when it takes work, it takes effort, it takes time. Man, I don't know about you, but almost anything I ever want to know about, I can Google it on there and it'll come up with it. We should have so much more time today than we ever had. But years ago, it seemed like we always had time. But I don't have any time for hardly anything anymore. I don't think it's got to do with time. I think it's got to do with priority. And so God begins to, you know, God wants time. And if we're not giving him time, don't expect that he's going to always be there because you've given time to something else. And God, you know, God has that. I don't know, I want Jesus more than anything. I want the world to see Jesus. And so today I want to not just throw out truth bombs. When you're being blown around and all kinds of things are happening, the Bible talks about hope as an anchor. What do you got to do when things are really kind of confusing or you're hurting or you're emotionally distressed? You got to learn to throw out that anchor. I'll tell you what, you know, when an anchor hooks into some good footing, it's it. You're going to be okay. You're going to be there. And God has given us this. I mean, it's something that he's given us. The Bible talks about this anchor of hope for our souls. And you know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "And this hope we have as an anchor of our soul." What's your soul? I don't know if you've ever done any kind of Bible studies, and it talks about, you know, the three parts, your body, soul, and spirit. You know, your soul is your emotions. Your soul is all these things like that. I'll tell you what. And so when you throw out this anchor of hope, it talks about being for our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters through the veil. So if you're not throwing out hope in the midst of what's going on, you're not passing your test. Are you hearing me? You're not passing the test. You got to throw out hope. As you throw out hope, that so-called storm is going to begin to realize that, no, I got an anchor. The storm's going to do it. I ain't going anywhere. I ain't blowing around. I'm not losing my purpose, my direction. I'm not losing anything that I gave to God. And so, you know, it's there. No matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, God says, don't worry. He tells us that. He says, not to worry. If your anchor is down, you're going to be hooked into something that's going to work. And then he tells us, he said, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't get weary in well-doing. You know, just go ahead and continue on. Romans chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5 says this: "And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us." See, it's not by might or power. It's by God's Spirit. These are things that God gives us, but if we don't use them, my hope is in the Lord. You know, if we don't use them, we begin to get all caught up and our life just, you know, sometimes we're at that point where if one more straw, it's going to break the camel's back. That's where a lot of people live in their Christianity. One more, well, I'll tell you what, one more straw is going to come. one more storm, a lot more storms. But what are you going to do in that storm? I mean, we can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do these things. But if we don't allow the Spirit of God to begin to give us these weapons of our warfare, we're not going to win in our fight. And so we see that hope doesn't disappoint. And the reason being is because God has poured out his Holy Spirit. God, I don't know about you, but things are going a little wacky. I need a little more Holy Ghost right now. How many know if you get serious with God, are you going to, and Lord, when you walk, Lord, I lift my cup, fill it up. I'm going to tell you, God's going to do it. I've seen it happen, and I know it's happened in my own life, that as I begin to get serious with God, God begins to get very serious. And so I see something that not only does God, it says he gives it to us, but there's another thing. There's a next that I begin to see that God demonstrates something that his power. You understand that it's something that sometimes we don't hold on to. You know, when the enemy tries to destroy things within our life, within our emotions, within whatever, you know, how the Bible talks about holding on. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, these are promises from God. But I have given you authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. You know, see, what we shared even earlier, do you believe? See, in the middle of, do you believe that God is my shepherd? Do you believe that God is going to give you authority? Well, you know, I see so-and-so, and I see this, and I hear this. But, you know, if we're not giving God those things, if we're not throwing out that anchor, if we're not giving God some time, if we're not serious about God, you see what's happening is there's not enough light to counter the darkness. There's not enough light to expose what to do or how to get there. But when we begin to use the light, God begins to show us exactly how to get there. And then by his power, by his Holy Spirit, he's given us authority as we begin to do some of these things, and even crazy little things about, you know, like these gals, they say Jesus. Man, you know, I mean, I've done that before. Say Jesus. I don't want to say Jesus. And so first thing I said, what, you afraid to say Jesus? Well, I ain't afraid of nothing. Well, then say it. I tell you what, and you use some of these little things. I tell you, God starts breaking down, and suddenly you're not their enemy. That's just trying to push something. Suddenly, you know, hey, you know, they keep talking to you. And next thing you know, a little more truth gets in there. A little more freedom gets into their life. A little more things. But light overcomes darkness. That's the only thing that can overcome darkness. It can make darkness have to push away. Now, he demonstrates this power and his authority over all the powers that try to destroy your life. And you know, it, as we see, some of these things that, you know, nothing shall harm you. No power of the enemy. And so it's important that a person takes action. How many know that sometimes, you know, I don't know, I've been frustrated with some friends that, you know, I believe in prayer. I believe that prayer is a really important, very important thing. But you can't just go to a city and walk around it and pray for it. That ain't the end result. The end result is that you got to not only pray for it, but you got to see a way that a light begins to shine. You got to make sure. I mean, if that's all you're going to do is walk around places, I know they'll go around the world walking around things, and then they'll go back home. To me, that's more like a vacation. God wants us to go there and invest. He wants us to go and begin to find a reason why we're praying and begin to put a little bit more light. And so in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious, looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you believe that? And now when the test really comes and the wind is really contrary, do you still believe that? God is going to do some things. And so we begin to realize that these tests are there for a reason. And if the winds don't stop blowing, well, then let God at least give you peace in the midst of it. That's part of what he's doing. And so I come to a place again where the issue isn't, you know, how much do I have, but what do I do with what I have? You know, that's what the Bible talks about, just the little fishes and loaves and how God can multiply these things, but the little that I have, what do I do with it? And you know, you see the story of the mustard seed, and it talks about how it's the smallest seed, but when it's planted, it grows up into this big thing. You know, when you plant a mustard seed, they've proved it, that little mustard seed that is so tiny that when it begins to grow, it has the power to push through concrete, its roots. I mean, God promises us if we have faith of a mustard seed, which is almost nothing, it isn't what we have, it's what we do with what we have. It's how we use what we have. If it's not planted, it ain't going to do anything. In fact, you know, I don't know about you, if you're a farmer or anybody, if you have seeds and you keep them for 2-3 years, every season that you keep that seed, its germination process goes down. And so, you know, it might have been 80% the first year, and it might get down to 60% the second year, maybe 30%. So if you're just going to not use anything that God's trying to give you, you know, I don't know about you, but when you take it and you put it in the ground, right away you put it in the ground, and it begins to produce something. That's what God, passing the test is making sure that, you know, what are the things we speak, the things we do, the where we go, the time we give, all these things begin to mount up to something that the Holy Spirit can begin to do powerful things. So I come to that place where I really believe that, you know, either you use it or you lose it. But if we use it, God can multiply it. That's the thing that's really important, that if we'll use what God gives us, he can multiply that. Now, in that same process, I don't know how many times we've had people and we're talking to them and we're trying to encourage them. But the devil would really like them to think that they don't have anything. The devil would like you to think that you don't have anything or you don't have enough. I want to tell you, the little bit that you have, to each has been given a measure of faith onto salvation. I want to tell you something, that's powerful. Everybody's been given a measure of faith. And so the enemy is a liar. And so we have enough. And when we are convinced, you know, when the enemy begins to do this, what happens when the devil convinces you that you don't have enough? Well, I don't know about you, begin to get stressed out, don't you? You start having sleeplessness, don't you? And you start wondering what's going on. And, you know, God has given us enough. The little bit, that little bit of mustard seed, Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Says this, and he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown, what do you got to do with it? Upon the soil, where do you got to put it? In the right spot. Though it's smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it's sown, It grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. I'll tell you what, God makes you into something that begins to be very useful. Your life begins to be a light onto the world. You begin to be that person that's kind of like that city on a hill that you know, even though all these things are going on, you know where to go and what to do. God gives us that ability, but he wants us to sow those seeds. And so what happens is if we'll take truly what he's given us, I don't know about you, but God has given me a lot of grace. He's given me a lot of love. He's given me a lot of forgiveness. He's given me the Holy Spirit. When I begin to use them, you heard what I said now, grace and love, and you know, we see some of these things, forgiveness, and when we begin to use them, we begin to see a powerful thing. You know, every day, I can honestly say that we're not always walking in victory. My mind ain't always perfect. But you know, there's times where I'll be sitting there and I'll hear Jesus saying something. Where are you going? I mean, this is kind of weird. Where are you going? I ain't going nowhere. I'm here. I'm sitting. I'm just reading. No. Where are you going in your mind? I was just thinking about something different, trying to read, but thinking about something different. Where are you going? You know, I mean, I don't know about you. I see some of these things in my thoughts and in my fears and in my frustrations. Where are you going? And, you know, it's kind of important because over all these things, you know, we see that Jesus is testing us, isn't he? And when all these things are happening, you know, when the storms are there, when Jesus said, where are you going? What I hear him saying, in the middle of a storm, he says, come. He didn't say go. He said, come. Come to me. See, a lot of times, that ain't where I went. I went to try to find an answer. I went to try to, you know, but first he said, come to me. And then what does he say? I'll give you what? Rest. Yeah? And I'll take and make your load lighter. See, then when that actually happens and starts to take place, then he begins to say something different. Now go. I'll tell you what, I've done a little bit of going ahead of what God is saying, and it didn't work. And so in the midst of some of these things, like I said, when we're trying to figure out all that's going on in the world and how to be this light and all this kind of stuff, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff to consider, but the biggest thing is that God is there always. And as we begin to use the proper things, we're going to get to that proper place, and you know, and it's going to produce something that's perfect. Perfect on time, in season, ready. It's going to produce the things of God. Now, God wants us to refocus, then he's going to send us. He wants us to be able to get into the river of God. And then what? Go with the flow. How many have ever swam in a river? I don't know if that river has much movement. I want to tell you, you don't go a long distance going against it. And even if you try to cross it, if you don't, you know, you're not going to get straight across. God wants us to go with the flow of that river. God's river is flowing. We don't have to fight it. We can flow with it. God's going to do something, even though we don't understand where the river's going, every little bend in the river, God wants us to flow. And the last scripture I want to share with you, and you all know it, in Psalms 23. Verses 1 through 3. You can't never forget this, whatever's going on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, if we can remember that, he's leading me. I want to follow. God isn't pushing me. He's leading me. He leads me at the pace that I am willing to go. I want to get more. I want others to understand that the more you get of God, you're never going to get to the end. But God's life and God's purpose is greater than anything that a human being could ever offer or give. God gives us life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we as your people, Lord, we know we're in difficult times, and you've said that. But God, with you, all things are not only possible. I don't have to live in a mind and emotion full of difficulty. I can use the giftings and the anchors and the hope and the love and the forgiveness and all these things that you've given, God. And Lord, I thank you that as we go through these tests, Lord, help us to recognize, God, how to pass that test. Let Christ be in us, not just a thought, but in our actions, in our emotions, and all these things. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have victory. We're going to change the world, right? Amen.